the things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is the our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Marin.
All right, so we talked about Trump's amazing accomplishments at kind of a broader ideological level. And it's easy to find, you know, listings of the specifics. And I didn't want to take too much time doing that. I can write about that on my blog. But I wanted you just to kind of get the sense that something's actually going on here in this civil war with the left. To me, that's critical. I have not seen many conservatives at all do that. And Trump's doing it. And the Women's March gals are extremely upset about this. And remember, a year ago, they held their vile Women's March, and Madonna was there and threatened to bomb or blow up the White House.
Burn it down, I believe.
Burn it down. And Ashley Judd was there talking gross
She's
stuff.
A nasty woman.
Yeah. I mean, it was so embarrassing. Oh. And they did a repeat this year. Let's see.
Thankfully, with less Madonna and less Ashley Judd.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see anything about celebrities this year. Well, I wonder why that is. I wonder why they didn't show up this year.
I'm sure it's not popular anymore. It's just a thing now.
Well, interesting little note, if you hadn't thought of it already. I want to know why the Women's March isn't happening on Rodeo Drive. Why aren't these women protesting Harvey Weinstein? And the literally dozens, nearing hundreds of Hollywood executives, Hollywood actors, and all the perverts in Hollywood and rapists and criminals in Hollywood who have molested, abused, raped women and children and men. I'm finding out men in Hollywood as well. Why was there no Women's March there?
Well, because you have to wait 30 years when your career is almost over and then come out about it.
Well, maybe it's because you just have to have a tape that says you were something what you would do, like Trump's yucky old dirty tape that made me so mad.
Yeah.
I did not go on a march.
And run for president.
Yeah, and run for president. So the women were at it again and embarrassing my gender, and I just wanted to kind of go through some of the signage. They marched in Las Vegas.
D.C., Los Angeles, Denver.
Denver.
Major metropolitan, Seattle, I believe.
Okay.
I didn't hear a lot of overseas marching. I don't know if they would, because I would hope that they'd be above this, but maybe.
Well, the women overseas would love to be here.
Yeah, they would actually love to have the amount of rights that the women here have that are complaining about it.
I know. So I've got an article here from Fox where they went to the Las Vegas march, and okay, I'm just going to read some of the signs. Here's one that's actually not limited to women. Pro-black, pro-brown, pro-queer, pro-trans, pro-immigrant, pro-choice, pro-women. All right. Shut down this blank hole with a picture of Trump's face. Let's go over to, let's see here.
And these are signs just in the crowd that they were waving?
In the crowd.
Okay.
Chad Prather posted some photos from some of the women's marches. He said there was a six-year-old girl in the San Francisco march, and she carried a sign that said, don't P-I-double-S me off.
What, a six-year-old?
A six-year-old.
I guarantee you she did not write that.
Here's another one. Grab the patriarchy by the tennis balls. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
We are the granddaughters of witches you weren't able to burn.
That's more of a personal statement, I believe.
I know.
Okay.
Okay, here are some that they just never cease to quit embarrassing me. We are not overreacting. I bet they were so excited about that. Oh, we can do a double meaning here.
Oh, no, yeah, someone who's trying to be cheeky and smart. Mm-hmm. Like,
another sign. Made in China.
How are you supposed to be taken seriously when you're doing that?
I don't know. This is my resisting bee face. All right, here's one. This one. Does this A-double-S make my country look small?
Wouldn't that be against what they're trying to do? That's a stereotype of women, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
It's terrible. Here's a little girl holding a sign. She looks maybe 7 years old, six maybe. Build a wall and my generation will tear it down. That doesn't have anything to do with women's rights.
No.
Here's one. I won't say the word. My blank is your worst nightmare. Okay? She used a very dirty word.
Oh.
Fill in the blank. Here's one for you. I dream women will one day have the same rights as guns.
We talked about this earlier, and
Jason,
they did
it.
Not think that through, because aren't guns super regulated
and locked up?
Locked up,
and
you
used.
Have to have you have to be licensed to have one. Really think about that before you put that on a sign.
And then there are a few photos from with men. Just they had some signs. One of them is, "Men, we must do better."
Oh. But my personal thoughts on that are these men are probably younger men, I'm assuming, correct? Do they look like they're 20s?
This guy does look 20s.
He is trying to impress his very feminist
girlfriend. Oh, thank
or
you.
Or potential girlfriend, girl he likes a lot.
You're right.
Oh, I'm going to go down there with you.
I just don't see men pining away about how they have to do better for the women.
Just to put it out there, there's probably a few. But I'm willing to bet that a majority of these men holding these signs are not them.
One thing I forgot to mention in my first segment. If you do a Yahoo search or a Google search on President Trump's first year, I wanted to read you some of the headlines. Here's one, Associated Press. Trump's first year in office has been a can't-miss drama. Chicago Tribune. As Trump's first year in office ends, his support base has eroded and the opposition is energized. In your dreams.
Yes, they're hoping.
I am so energized, and no, the support base is not eroding. In fact, I think we had an audio from one of Clinton's former aides in either the last show or the one before, where the aide was talking about millennials, and he was so scared. He admitted, he came out and said he was scared that the liberal youth would like the tax cuts. So don't tell me that his support base has eroded and the opposition is energized. I see the difference. I see the opposition is going, ooh, wow, this isn't so bad.
They're not opposition anymore. We hate Trump as a person. I just like what he's doing.
Right. That's exactly what it is. And you're right. You know, remember during the election, you were saying that that's probably what people are doing in the polling, was they were, or in exit polls, they were probably saying, no, I would never vote for Trump. And they secretly did.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to come out and seem like a racist, because at that point when they were going through the election, oh, he's a white supremacist. He has that terrible video. You don't want to be a misogynist, right?
Right.
Well, of course not. I voted for someone else. I didn't vote for Trump.
Bloomberg, Trump's first year ends on shutdown crisis note.
Really?
Yeah. So there's more. I had meant to mention that in my first segment, how big media is just crying and screaming and can't handle this. There was a women's march in the Springs today too, right, Jason?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, we have inclement weather because it is snowing today.
Yeah.
And so they decided to be safe and hold it indoors, which means they went to a church and they all walked to the nearest park, which is about a half a mile away. It's a 10-minute walk. They did their thing and they walked back angrily, I'm assuming.
Oh, wow. Now that's determination, isn't it?
Yeah. And the whole time I'm thinking they're probably very mad at Mother Nature for taking away their First Amendment rights.
Oh, no.
Or climate change.
The climate change. Yes. They're going to blame it on us because we won't agree to the climate change.
We got out of the Paris Accord.
That's right.
You guys, you're ruining the climate. That's why we can't protest anymore.
Okay.
But yeah, they held it in a church, a local church.
All right. So there's your women's march update. I wonder if there's going to be another one next year. I'm sure there will.
We need to have a men's march. I need to get that together. November 19th, for everyone listening, November 19th is International Men's Day.
A real thing.
It's a real thing. It's been the real thing since 97, I believe, 97, 98.
I wonder how that's going to go.
No way. Last year didn't do anything. We literally said, oh, yeah, men's day. And that was it.
All right. All right. I'd be there. All right. I would be there.
You'd march with us? Would you wear hats?
No.
If women can wear their hats, we should be able to wear our hats, right?
No.
Okay, fine.
All right. The government shutdown. Let's just listen to some audio. We've got audio. Okay. On the government shutdown, I have a comment to make. The GOP is in power. You know, they're the majority. And for years, I can remember the GOP out of power just threatening to hold a government shutdown. Shut down the government. And I'll tell you, big media would have told you the sky's falling because the GOP was threatening to shut down the government. But in my memory, I can't think of a time when the GOP, at least in recent years, actually successfully shut the government down. And just for the record, I'm okay with a government shutdown. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a government's so big that it can give you something, it's too big because it can then take it away.
And not only that, the government is shut down, quote unquote. The army's still going. Police departments aren't shut down. Fire's not shut.
The red lights and green lights are still working.
Water's still flowing to your house. Electricity's still there, if you're listening to this podcast. What happened? Oh, non-essential. Non-essential means we don't need them. Why do we have them?
Thank you so much.
That's why. Yeah.
You know what? You just nailed it. Because if they're non-essential, why are we employing them in the first place?
Yeah. That's a sign that your government is too big.
It is a sign.
When you can shut down and it still functions.
Yeah, and I'm going to go into that. However, now the Democrats are not in power. Well, okay. Excuse me.
Not traditionally in power.
Numerically, they're not in power.
Yeah.
The GOP is numerically in power. But guess who succeeded in shutting down the government? The Democrats. I just, you know, and I know it's a 60-vote thing. It's not a majority vote thing. That's not even my point. My point is when the GOP's in power, the GOP just can't do anything. And when they're not, they bluff and they huff and they threaten to do all these things and they can never.
If you could take the last 5 years into account on how they were going to get rid of Obamacare for years. And then they have everything in their court.
Everything. And it's still intact.
And they can't do a single thing.
The legislation stuff is still intact and can come back. Just because the tax reform took it out from its knees financially does not mean that it can't come back. But with that said, let's just listen to Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. We've got several audios here. They're all from 2013 when the GOP was threatening to shut down the government. And which one do we have here?
Let's do the idiocy.
Okay, so we've got Chuck Schumer in 2013. Listen to his remarks about his remarks about shutting down the government. Now remember, he just shut it down Friday night.
Yeah, but this was him in 2013.
Yes.
There wasn't really a give and take. It was not. We're not giving you anything. You have no leverage and you're wrong. Could this not have ended sooner if Democrats had not taken such a hard line?
Well, it was not a hard line on the substantive issues. It was a hard line saying, unless I get my way, I'm going to shut the government down. I'm going to risk default for the nation. Now, anyone can do that. I believe in immigration reform. What if I persuaded my caucus to say, I'm going to shut the government down. I'm going to not pay our bills unless I get my way. It's a politics of idiocy, of confrontation, of paralysis.
Oh.
And so finally what happened.
Listen to that. Politics of idiocy.
Idiocy. It's so idiotic to shut the government down and not pay our bills.
All right. Now let's listen to Pelosi.
Yeah.
Same thing. She, Preacher Pelosi really comes out on this one.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
so good at being the preacher.
Well, I join the American people in their disgust at what happened in terms of the shutdown of government. It's an unthinkable tactic to use in the political debate.
It's just
unthinkable. Unthinkable to do that.
We have thought about it a lot this year.
Yeah.
And then another one from Chuck Schumer. What would happen if the government gets shut down? Let's find out.
Because we believe strongly in immigration reform. We could say we're shutting down the government. We're not going to raise the debt ceiling until you pass immigration reform. It would be governmental chaos.
Oh, gosh.
Governmental chaos.
That was all 2013.
That was how many years ago? Four? Five years ago.
So, with all that said, you now know, if you didn't already, but my listeners already know this, that Democrats are full of bunk. They'll do anything, anything to get what they want. And in this case, they are trying to basically get rid, or they're trying to make sure that Trump can't get rid of DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Actually, and go ahead, Jason.
Trump has actually gotten rid of DACA. The Dems are looking to naturalize everyone under DACA because they have until March 5th to decide what to do with all the immigrants who are under DACA.
Explain that. Why is March 5th the date?
Because in September, the Trump administration went through and said, you know, DACA, we're taking out DACA. DACA is no longer a thing, but we're going to give you 6 months to figure out what to do with these people. Because the Obama administration signed into law, quote unquote, the DACA program.
Okay.
Which basically, if you are an immigrant who's brought over as a child, you are covered under DACA. You can be covered under DACA, I should say. Which means you can become a legal citizen under it. Makes it easier to become a legal citizen or to work in America.
Okay. And
They've been covered since 2012,
June of 2012.
June of 2012 under the Obama administration. So there's 800,000 approximately people.
And they're in a tizzy.
Yeah, because right now Trump said, nope, I'm revoking that executive order.
Okay.
And making Congress decide what to do with these people. And so it's up to Congress to figure it out.
Okay.
And they have until March 5th to do
it. All right. So there's your Democrat motivation for why they've shut down. Just a little facts on what a government shutdown is. It occurs when Congress and the president fail to sign into law 12 appropriation bills. And those bills determine spending for certain government agencies. And how to prevent a government shutdown, the Congress can provide extensions. And in this case, there have been two extensions. We've been operating on these extensions since October 1st. And how long does it last? As long as it takes. I think it's typically taken a weekend for these things to happen. But yeah, I think one lasted for 16 days.
That was the one in 2013,
yes,
I believe.
It was. You're right. Yes. 2013. And interestingly enough, it eliminates non-essential personnel, as Jason was saying. But the president and his appointees in Congress are exempt, which is such a bummer. If Congress is going to shut down the government.
Well, you would think the most non-essential personnel would be the people who can't do their jobs.
That's right. Thank you.
You would think that.
Yes. The interesting thing is, Americans still get Social Security, Medicare benefits. Yes, you can still go to national parks, monuments, and museums. Most of them, I think that the Statue of Liberty got shut down for a day yesterday. There's a lot that is affected. Bottom line is, though, no one doesn't get paid. They just don't get paid at the next payroll date.
It's not timely paid, but you do get paid. So instead of getting paid if you're paid biweekly, instead of getting paid for 2 weeks, you get paid for four. They just skip one paycheck, the most recent paycheck towards the shutdown.
Okay. So that's just kind of the basics on the shutdown, and I'm not going to go much further into that. My big point is I'm just constantly astounded and frustrated that when I want the GOP to shut it down, they never can seem to pull it off. There's just this intimidation factor always going on. But, the Democrats' blocking point here has to do with illegals. That is what they want. They want illegals to be able to come into our nation. Why? Because that is their voting base. Illegals will get benefits. Illegals will get anything they want. And the Democrats know that if they are big enough to give illegals what they want, then they've got permanent voters and they'll never get voted out of office. With that said, when we come back, I want to tell you about what the California Attorney General is talking about doing in regards to immigration and illegals. He is telling employers that he's going to prosecute them. And if you don't think that can't happen anywhere else, I've got news. It's happening in Denver. I broke it first here on KVOR. And I'm going to tell you more about it when we come back.